family. But as we do so, we can understand better what God is trying to do for us. And surely, we wouldn't be able to be sitting here today if it hadn't been for the sacrifice that men and women made throughout the past history of our great nation and their willingness to serve God and country and defend this great land that we are so proud of. But I want to go deeper than that this morning. I want to go back to our roots somewhat and the beginning of God's intent for man and what He wanted us to do in our hearts and our lives. He has them in chapter 4 of Joshua to stop and reflect for a minute. He's done great things for the children of Israel. He brought them out of bondage. He brought them up to Kadesh Barnea, the entranceway into Cana. And because of the report of the 12 spies that went in and checked out the land, 10 of them come back and say, "Woo, they giants in the land, them big folks, they huge." And 2 said, "But they're a piece of cake. With God on our side, we ain't got no problem." Guess who they listened to? The 10, didn't they? And that cost them what? 40 more years wandering around out in that wilderness experience out there. And every man above the age of 20 died out there in that wilderness experience out there. So the new crop is coming on is the young folks, and they have to have some things to be in accordance with what the Lord ordered through Moses and then Abraham and his others, leaders down through the land. That was circumcision and things, and it's things like you and I have the ordinances of God that we observe that God commanded us, the Lord's Supper and baptism. We'll be partaking in the baptism in a little bit. But when we reflect on a time to remember what God has done, we have to remember He brings them back for the second time to the entranceway into the promised land. Now, I want you to reflect with me. It's been 700 years since Moses was promised. Abram was promised, not Moses. Abram, later to become Abraham, was promised that God was going to give him that land and where he was going and what he was going to do with that land and their hearts and their lives. It was an opportunity for the children of Israel to really come into a land that was the most fertile, the best land in all the land. And here he says in chapter 4 of Joshua that it came to pass. What did that mean? It happened, that's right. That when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua and said, "Take you 12 men out of the people, one out of every tribe," there's 12 tribes of the children of Israel, "get a man out of every tribe, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night." Didn't make a bit of sense in the world to Joshua, but the thing that mattered was he was being obedient. He was obeying what the Lord had told him to do. He said, "Get you a man out of every tribe, send him back down into the riverbed of the Jordan there, and command them to bring out a stone and to place it where you lodge tonight, where you set up your tent tonight." God's getting ready to return the waters. If you'd have backed up into chapter 3 there, you would have found out that God rolled back the waters of the Jordan. And when you think about that, it's all the scripture says about the Jordan is that every year during harvest season, it flooded. But when you research that and you take the name of the little place, and I can't remember it right off the top of my hat, that the rollback went to from where the children of Israel crossed over on dry land, it was the Lord rolled the water back a mile wide and 30 miles deep, about the length of from Bendale to Wiggins. Can you imagine that? For a mile wide and 30 miles deep, he rolled back the water so all those millions of folks could cross over on the other side. Then he tells them to send 12 men back in there to get a stone and bring them out and put them here at the place that they're going to camp for the night. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. Take up every man a stone upon his shoulder according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? The Lord was telling him, Joshua, to build a monument, that in times to come, when their children and their grandchildren and stuff come along, and they say, Daddy, what is that? It opens the door of opportunity to do what? Share what the Lord has done for you. In my life and in your life, there's places along the way where I hope you put down some monuments, some places of remembrance of what God has done for you in your heart and your life, how he has blessed you in the things that he's done in your heart and your life. We, I believe with all of my heart, ought to every day of our lives strive to build monuments, to do things. And when somebody does good, to praise them. When somebody's in trouble, to pray for them and to help them in our hearts and our lives. And they kept showing that chicken up there a while ago. I was fixing to tell them, if they don't take that off, we ain't going to have no sermon this morning, you know. That chicken looked good, you know. But we're going to get in it a little while, and then after that, we're going to share our time of housewarming for Cody. A way of blessing him and thanking him for the achievements he's made in his life to go all the way and graduate from Mississippi State and get a job and a home. And we're going to help him turn that house into a home in a little while with our blessings. Building a monument, something I hope Cody will remember the rest of his days, what his church family did for him, what you and I do in our hearts and our lives. But what he wanted them to understand when he built this monument here is that he wanted them to do what, remember what the Lord had taught them. And he told them three things that I can find in this, and I'm going to accelerate it a little bit because of our time. But the first thing he wanted them to do is to remember what he had taught them. You say, well, what did he teach them, Brother Larry? When they denied the first time and refused to go over into the land of Canaan, the most fertile, the best land in all the world at that time, and possess the land, they was missing out on what God wanted to bless them with. All they could see was the giants. Before the first 40 years, when he brought them there, he brought them to Kadesh Barnea, where they could have crossed over and went in. This time, where did he bring them to after 40 years? Brought them to the crossing where they'd go right into Jericho. Jericho was the most fortified city in the land of Canaan at that time, because they perceived what the Lord was going to do. They built walls. Thick walls, big walls, huge walls, got on top of them walls and built more walls and prepared to get ready for the invasion that they knew was going to come when these Canaanites came across and possessed their land. They knew what God had promised Abraham. They knew what the scripture says. They knew what God was up to. But they was preparing themselves to do what? Instead of joining God and being a part of what God was doing, they was preparing to fight, defend themselves, and to keep themselves from doing what God would have them to do. And he said, remember what I taught you. You don't want another 40 years out there in that experience. You don't want all of your men above 20 to die. You don't want all these things. He said the second thing he told them, remember who you are. Who are we? We're supposed to be the children of God. These Hebrews were God's chosen people. He took one man, Abram, one woman, Sarah, and he began to allow them to become the father of a great nation. I want to tell you what he said. Brian will put it up on the screen for you, perhaps, in what he's saying here in chapter 12. You're going back 700 years, okay, with me? Said, the Lord has said unto Abram, had never changed his name to Abraham yet. The Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house, and go into a land that I will show thee. Get up, leave your house, leave your job, leave your family, leave your friends. Where are you going, Abram? I don't know. God just told me to get up and go, and he would show me a land that he wanted me to go. But he made him this promise. Listen to what he said to him. And I will make of thee a great nation. One man, one woman, 700 years to do it. But did God make him the father of a great nation? You better believe it. And I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Did you get that? And in thee, he says here, that all the families of the earth, who is that? It's me and you today, will be blessed. So Abraham departed, and he went and left everything he'd worked for a lifetime and went to serve the Lord. Do what the Lord wants him to do. Whose are you? If you figure out who you are, then you'll know you are God's children if you've trusted him as Lord and Savior. What has God done for you and I? See, we're setting the ground here for the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who's going to come and shed his blood and die on that cross and be buried in that tomb and rise again, ascend back to the Father, and one day he's coming to get us. Any moment he could split that eastern sky and call out the bride of Christ, the church, and the redeemed, and take us into the glory. Daddy, what meanest ye by these stones? What is that? I don't understand that. I don't. Why do we put up stones in the cemetery of our loved ones that's gone on to be with the Lord? Why do we do that? So when we are honoring our parents or our children or whoever's that's gone before us and stuff. But it's also to be a reminder of those round about us, of those that have gone on before us in their hearts and their lives. But I want you to know that the secret of survival in every enemy territory hinges on one thing. We're going to survive. Satan and his satanic forces that's going to come after us with all their power. What did the children of Israel, when they got across, they was bumping shoulders with Jericho. You know? And those 2.5 tribes that wanted to stay on the other side of Jordan, they brought 40,000 men. They set up for battle. How did God defeat Jericho? He didn't tell them to fire one bow and arrow. He didn't tell them to do one thing. All he said to do was to what? March around, march around, march around. And then finally he said, this time when you march around, shout. What happened to them big old walls and all that stuff? It all come tumbling down, didn't it? And they didn't have to turn a finger to do anything. Right? All they had to do was just be obedient. Now, I'm telling you what Larry would have done. And I got a pretty good idea what's up. Now, if you think I'm going to march around that building 12 times and let them shoot at me, you're wrong. I'd have argued with God. What would you have done? You know? I'd have had to say, Lord, are you sure you know what you're doing in my heart and my life? But listen what they did here. Then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial. What are we enjoying today? What are we celebrating? Memorial Day. Memorial being what? To stop and reflect and remember, you know. As we remember what the sacrifice of so many has been in the past, and that's not to belittle that in any way. They gave the supreme sacrifice. But what did our Lord do? He went all the way to that cross and died that terrible death for our sins. Doing right is more important than doing well. You know, some people are just satisfied. Get along and go along, do well. But we got to do the right thing. We can't fall prey to Satan and his satanic forces. It's going to say to us that you're a good man, you're a good woman, good mother, good father, good grandparents, good whatever, good, good, good. We can't be good enough for the sacrifice that our Lord made for us and going to that cross and dying for us on that cross. And what he's. But I want you to know, before these individuals ever looked forward to Jericho, they had to stop and look back to Jordan to see what God accomplished there. Millions of folks had to go across. What'd he do? He stopped the waters a mile wide, 30 miles deep back there, so all those folks could cross over on dry land. When he got them over there, he took 12 stones, he built a memorial. I want to ask you something. And I want you to be honest within yourself. You don't have to answer me out where I. Do you have a memorial? Do you have a place where you can go back to and know that on October the 24th, 1974 was my date? That I trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. I ask Him to forgive me my sins, save my soul, give me the assurance of that home in heaven. Followed Him in New Testament baptism, began to serve Him in Shady Grove Baptist Church. He called me into the ministry, sent me to Bexley, been here for a long, long time. I have memorials. I have places I can go. I can know where I put my faith and trust. And I have that assurance. This old cancer is rough on this old body. But I want to cash it in one of these days, you know, for a glorified body. You know, Scripture says, I don't know how I'm going to be, but I'm going to be like Him, and He's perfect, you know. And I tell them all the time, and I probably shared it with you many a time, but I hope that picture's right back there. Because He's tall, dark, and handsome, and I'm tired of being short, fat, and bald, you know. I'm just being the way it is in my heart and my life. And the book of Joshua isn't about claiming the promised land. It's about the sacrifices. It's about us being obedient and being what God wants us to be. Canaan was the choicest real estate in all the land. God wasn't giving them a piece of junk. He is giving them what? His very best. His very best. And he started it from one man, one woman. They're being obedient. It's never too late. As long as you have breath, you've got hope to do the will of God in your heart and your life. The things that you would have us to do. This choice real estate, this vast land that he had stretched out there, connected Africa with Europe. And if you can imagine that stretch of land. And so it was a land that was promised to Abraham. Took him 700 years to get him to go in and possess the land. But finally, they did. But how much wasted time did they have by waiting so long? How many lives were lost in that 40-year period? How many women lost their husbands? How many children lost their daddy? Because the people refused the first time at Kadesh Barnea. Woo! Them big old giants out there. That's all they could see. You know, and some of you are probably sitting here this morning and you're saying within yourself, wow. People just, I'm getting on up in age. You know? If I was to step out and trust Jesus this morning, people would say, well, my Lord, what if? It's never too late, folks. I don't care what people say. I care about rubbing shoulders with you throughout all of eternity, my heart and my life. I'm going to pray with you. But I want you to be on. Do you have a place where you put down a monument that says, at this time and this place? You may not remember the date and all that stuff. That don't matter. But you know that you trusted Jesus. You made your public profession of faith. You followed it in baptism. And you're a child of God. And he said, that's what our obedience is. And our baptism, that's what it means. In a moment when I placed this young couple under, they died to themselves, going to rise a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away, all things become new. Brand new creature. You know what? You ain't got no more worries then. Because when the Lord comes, you're going with him. Going with him. If you don't go with him, guess what? You're left behind. Let's pray. Father God, I come to you this morning. Lord, we kind of rushed and didn't get into all the little details perhaps that we needed to, but the main thing is, are we obedient? Have we obeyed you? Do we have a monument with our name on it in heaven that says, my name is in that Lamb's Book of Life? I trusted Jesus as my Savior. It's not. Help us this morning to know that we know that we know. We're your child. Forgive us where you fail again. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a verse of invitation. We get ready to sing that verse of invitation. God's speaking to your heart. No better time to establish that monument than right now.